David, and it's really the period of David which concerns us, and that is the kingship of Israel. But in order to understand that, we've got to get some idea of how kingship started in Israel. We just commenced the part of Shmuel, and we briefly got over that, and then we also got as far as the fringe of the idea of kingship, the principle of kingship, and the appointment of Shaul as the first king. Now, it starts with chapter 8. Wait, I think you're going to get to the study table because probably somebody wants to get in. It starts in chapter 8 of the first book of Samuel. And we did the first four verses, and we really start from verse 4. Now, I'm not going to go very carefully into the words itself, because it is the subject that I want to deal with you, but I'll very briefly, the first book of Samuel, chapter 8. The first book of Samuel. And all the elders of Israel, it says, chapter 8, verse 4. And all the elders of Israel gathered together, and they came unto Shmuel to Ramah. And they said unto him, Behold, you are old, and your children do not walk in your ways. Now, and here are the operative words. Set a king over us to judge us like all the nations. Then it says, Vayera hadover ba'enei Shmuel, and the matter was evil in the eyes of Shmuel when they said, Set over us a king to judge us. And Shmuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to him, so Shmuel is displeased with why they are asking for a king. The normal thing to say is, in the climate in which we are living, he was displeased because it meant that somebody was going to replace him, and he didn't want to replace. And it was himself with whom he was concerned, about whom he was concerned. Now, we know enough about Torah, we know enough about Shmuel, that not to suspect him of that. But when it says, and the matter was evil in the eyes of Shmuel, when they said, set over us a king to judge us, and Shmuel prayed to the Lord, that he felt that there was something inherently wrong in their asking to have a king placed over him, and this, what is inherently wrong about it, is what we've got to discover and what we've got to find out. And then Shmuel says to him, come right up here.
So it was hard for me. I
was not sure when you took chairs and you came and sat as near as you could around the table, it would suit me much better. Problem which we really don't find as a problem. We know that there is something inherently wrong in this request. And we want to find out what is wrong in this request. Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, and then Hashem said to Shmuel, listen to the voice of the people to all which they say. And to all which they say to you. Sorry, my husband. Because they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from ruling over them. Now we are already in a difficulty here. Yes, sir.
Is the king a judge? I always thought they were sort of different.
We will come to that. We'll come to that. As soon as I just get this underway, I'm going to go right back onto something else, you see. We'll get back onto that. I just want to break the back of the first part of this chapter. Then Hashem says that they have, it's not you that they have rejected, but it is me whom they have rejected from reigning over them. Now the word rejected is rather a strong word. It is a word, it's a rejection with an abhorrence. So it's rather a strong word. According to all the deeds which they did, from the day that I brought them out of Egypt and unto this day, and they forsook me, and they served strange gods, so they are doing also to you. Now, what Hashem is saying here is, he is comparing is it really good?
Mm-hmm.
She looks so different, doesn't she? Coming in from the rain. Mm-hmm. So, we've got to also understand what is the comparison. What Hashem says, according to all the deeds that they did from the time I left them and I went out of Egypt to this day, and they forsook me, and they served other gods, so they are doing also to you. A little bit strange, but we'll get over that. And now, says Hashem, hearken to their voice, but give them sufficient warning, and thou shalt say to them, the type of the king which will reign over you, Tell them the type of king that will reign over them. And Shmuel said all the words of the Lord to the people, told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked of him for a king. And he said to them, this shall be the way of the king. How have we got it in the English?
This shall be the
manner of the king. Good. This shall be the manner of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons, and he will put them into a chariot with horses, with horsemen, and they shall run before his chariot. And he will set over them princes of thousands and princes of fifties to plow for him and to harvest for him and to do and to forge all weapons of war and to make his chariots for him. And daughters he would take to be perfumers and to be cooks and to be bakers, and he will take your fields and your vineyards and the choicest of your olive orchards, and he will give it to his servants, and your fields and your vineyards he will demand the tenth, and he will give it to his officers and to his servants, and your servants and your maid servants, and your young men, the best of your young men, and your asses he will take for the purpose of doing his own work. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you will be the tenthiyu leila avodim, and you will be to him for slaves. And you will cry on that day from before your king, whom you have chosen for yourself, and Hashem will not answer you on that day. And the people refused to listen to the voice of Shmuel, and they said, no, ki im melech yeyeleinu. There must be a king over us, and we shall also be like all the other nations, and our king will judge us, and he will go out to war before us, and he will fight our wars. And he will go out and fight before us in all our wars. Up to there, which is more or less the end of the chapter. First of all, we've got to understand something of the subject of kingship. So let us go to that part in the Torah that deals with the appointment of a king. And in that part of the Torah that deals with the appointment of a king, there are only a few verses. Now I'm going to read to you those few verses, and if you would give me your attention, it does matter that you haven't got the words in front of you, but you'll be able to get it quite easily. I'm going to read over the whole passage. It's Deuteronomy chapter 17, from verse 14. I'm reading to you the whole passage in English, then I'm coming back to do the part that concerns this man. It says, when you will come to the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you will possess it and inhabit it, and you will say, set over me a king, like all the nations that are round about me, you shall set a king over you, a king whom the Lord your God will choose out of the midst of your people. You shall set over yourself a king. You will not be able to put over you a stranger who is not your brother. On no account is he to multiply unto himself horses, and he is not to lead the people back to Egypt in order to obtain horses. And Hashem said to you, you shall not again go back by the way, you shall not go back thither by the way you came. And he shall not have an abundance of women, who say that his heart be turned not away, nor silver nor gold shall he collect too much for himself. And it shall be, when he shall sit on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself two separate paragraphs. And the one shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, in order that he should learn to fear the Lord his God, to guard all the words of this Torah and these statutes, to do them, in order that his heart be not raised high above his brethren, and in order that he should not turn away from the commandment, neither to the right nor to the left, that he should prolong days over his kingdom, he and his sons, in the midst of Israel. That is the whole chapter. The whole thing. Now, let us go back and just discuss this a little bit. This is the law of the appointment of the king. So the first question you've got to ask, why is this so obvious to Shmuel? Why is Hashem himself displeased with the people who are asking for a king when provision for a king is made in the Torah itself? That is the first question we've got to ask ourselves. That hits one immediately. What is so bad about it? Is it because they say, like the nations that are round about us, these are precisely the words which the Torah itself uses? And the Torah says, I will set over me a king, kechol hagoyim asher sviv esroi, like all the nations which are round about me. So the Torah is that for which they are, is already legislated in the Torah itself. What is so bad about their asking for a king? Yes, Aida.
Well, have they become king of the king that they were destined to be?
Yes.
They have their prophets, and they have the Torah as a guide for them, and they should be also, I think, no
You've been made provision for a king.
Oh, well, just in case.
You will take it.
There would be provision for a king, but Hashem wants it and not me.
Yes, but it seems rather strange if provision is made, even if it shouldn't be necessary, if provision is made, then what is so bad about their wanting a king? That is the first thing. I want to ask another question. I want to ask, is this in the first instance why is it so necessary to have a king? Did one is going to go without one in the United States? They manage not so well. This one is in Britain. So what's the great use of having a king?
The answer is they want to be like the other nations. But some didn't want them to be like the other
nations. There's no provision for it. So what the law should have been, if you say you want a king to be like all the other nations around about it, under no circumstances should you have a king? That should have been the commandment. Okay. You think our king finds it so difficult to say no?
Hashem knows that the people aren't going to die for that. I mean, he knows
that
that paradox was supposed to. On one hand, we have free will, but on the other hand,
and when the Torah says you must keep Shabbat, doesn't Hashem know the people won't measure up? Yeah. Did you know? Doesn't he know they'd like to work on Shabbat? What did he tell them? You can't work on Shabbat. Whether you listen to me or not is a different matter. But you can't work on Shabbat. Why does he say that you can have a king? Just doesn't, there's something there that doesn't work out.
Is the responsibility?
Just coming to it, right? There you go.
Now, I think that there are two things. Is that one is in Deuteronomy, when they're talking about it, his provision is that the moral character that the king should have is quite different from the moral character that the king apparently is going to have in Shmuel.
How does he know? And if he's got to be a king, they say to Shmuel that comes. So if God has to appoint a king, to appoint a king that won't be like this.
But I think that the reason why it's bad to have a king is caught up in a sentence that they have rejected me. That a king somehow comes between the people of Israel and God.
Yes, but you're not answering my main question. Provision is made for it. And it says, then Jacob says, then you shall put over yourself a king whom the Lord your God shall choose. What do you mean the Lord your God shall choose? You shall come to the prophet of the day, or to the same goggle with the Urim and Thummim in your day, in the best place. And he will choose the king. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. The people don't choose. God chooses. We'll choose it. And I shouldn't say, what kind of a king are you going to have? The type of person he's going to be. Please, Hashem. King of the prophet, King of the king, you're going to choose it.
It's based on what the people deserve.
Why do they deserve that? What is wrong in what they did? When provision has been made. I need something to hang on to.
What they got and what is in the army. They got what they deserved. They got what they asked for.
But why? If they
weren't secular at that point.
How do we know it? What is wrong?
Well, if you look at Shmuel's sons, if they were the judges of the time,
that's why they came. They said, look, we don't want your sons. So, and we want a king, so you choose. We know that you choose and God chooses. What can be better than that? I can be very difficult to understand. I'm sorry, with somebody else. If you're here, I'm sorry, please, I'll tell you.
The people don't say anything of that, and we don't hear anything of the king appointed king.
They say you appointed the king.
So that's the
of course you have two tables. You put one away, you put in his library, and the other you always keep with it, it is a small type of candle, wherever you went. You have these blankets, you put it on the fireboard in front of him. He went into his office, took it with him. He went to Parliament, he took it with him. He went to war, he took it with him.
That's not mentioned, that's
Yes, Sheila.
They wanted to change their own services and get a house in the house and get a house in the house.
Well,
they want to, because the tour of them, you know, you could have a too large apartment.
That will have to come out. You just have to find out what are the purposes they want it for. Now, what I want to do now is, I want to get more or less back to the idea of the thing. Where is the first time in the Torah that it speaks about a king for Jews? A king for ourselves, a king for terror people. When is the first time in the terror that is mentioned? Well, in Deuteronomy, in the Bible, it gives us, in this place, in instance, it tells us about the appointment of a king. Where is the first time that it says anything about a king? That's a difficult one. Unless you go to hear every Sabbath and you listen to the reading of the Torah.
I
can't
believe
it. You didn't deserve it, did you?
Oh, yeah.
With the Kubis or without
the Kubis? Oh, with the Kubis.
Yeah. The first time that is mentioned, long ago. In fact, it's so long ago that he's still going to have it again. The first time that is mentioned, now just listen to this. I suppose I'm going to retranslate the English. It won't be as good, but it will be more exact. Just listen to this. The scepter shall never depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from the king's seat. This is the blessing that Yaakov gives to his son to Judah. The scepter shall never depart from Judah. Judah is king. The kings of Israel will be the descendants of Judah. Nor the rulers shall from the king's seat. As long as men come to Shiloh, unto him shall the obedience of the people cease. Binding his soul unto the vine, and so forth. So Yah is already the very first time that it's mentioned. What I want to know is, why was Saul appointed king? He is from the tribe of Benjamin and not from the tribe of Judah. This doesn't seem to be right. If it's left to us him to appoint a king, then surely Saul should have been appointed. Oh, very nice, and Saul disgraces himself. Then David is appointed king and he came from Judah. But why in the first instance? If David was too young, point his father. His father's not suitable, point his uncle. Enough tens of descendants from Judah. They've got tens of thousands of descendants from Judah. Why don't appoint somebody? Why not appoint somebody from Judah? And why appoint him from Benjamin? So it becomes more involved, more complicated, more difficult, more inexplicable as we go on. What's all this about? Life is to be made easy, it's not yet to be made difficult. So what is all this about? And this is something that we've got to try and understand.
Well, I just think that there is just that some of the people getting what they deserve and being at a level where they weren't ready for it.
You've got the hammer in your hand. You've got the tip of the nail in the timber. And you either lift the nail or you stick it in and go crooked. That's not enough. Now, what I want to do with you is, I want to just do this blessing with you, that you should have some idea of what the blessing is that Jacob, with which Jacob blesses his journey. This is the intent in chapter 49 in Bereishis, chapter 49, verse
8.
Okay. And I'm sorry, you're quite right. It's verse 8, you're quite right, from verse 8. Let us start from verse 8. Verse 8 is a good verse to start from. Let the crowd start. It starts, Yehudah, Atel Yehudah Achecha. Peter, you, your brethren, shall acknowledge. Yehudah, the Oyez Oyezah. Your hand shall be on the nape of the neck of your enemy. Yisachavu lecho b'nei avicha. The sons of your father will bow themselves down before you. Those are the qualities he says they will have. You will notice that first of all, he says, Judah, your brothers will acknowledge you. That's speaking about the people within. Then he says, your hand will be on the nape of the neck of your enemy. That is, as far as outside is concerned. So we've got the home position, and we've got foreign affairs. As far as the human position is concerned, your brothers will acknowledge you. As far as the foreign nations are concerned, as far as foreign affairs are concerned, your hand will be on the neck of your enemy. That is a quality that Judah has. Having got that quality in actualization, or is it a potential quality? I would say it's a potential quality. Furthermore, let us not forget how this passage begins. It begins as follows. And Yaakov called his brethren. And Yaakov called to his sons and he said, "Hey, gather together, and I will tell you, that which will occur to you, the acharita yomim, in the end of days." So when is Yaakov speaking about? Yechta. He's speaking about Yechta. And he's speaking about the propensity of each one of his sons. And he says, this is the propensity which each one of you has. This is the propensity in which you are expected to hand down from generation to generation. This is what is in you. This is your potentiality. And in the end of day, then it will have developed, or it will have come to the fore to such an extent that it will make the most positive of all of the contributions that it has made until that particular moment. Right? So Hashem is prophesying for the end of day. What is the great advantage of Judah? His brethren acknowledge him. His potential. What is his power? That his hand will be on the back of the neck of his enemy. Why won't he be at the front of the neck? Why won't he be here?
What is that?
He was a captain.
He wasn't that. His enemies will go away. You will have them at the back, you take them by the stuff of the neck and take them out. He will detect them. Now that is the quality that Yahweh speaks of Yehuda that he's going to have in the end of days. Then it goes on and he says, Gur Argei Yehuda. Now Gur Argei, a Gur is a threat. A threat is little more than a cup of a lion. He's between a cub and a lion. He can already hunt for himself. Aryeh is a grown up lion. There's a difference between the good and the lion. So he says, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Yehuda is a wolf and a lion. At one and the same time, he has all the initiative, all the enthusiasm of youth, and he has all the sensibility, all the sobriety, all the experience, all the wisdom of action. This will be the Yehuda in the end of day. The good and the Argei in one. The horse and the lion. He will be in one. We hear him for me or you. Those are remarkable words. Here is pray. Not always legitimate prayer. When the fox goes into the farmer's yard and he steals his poultry. And at this time of the year, he says, that is hell. When the wolf goes into the farmer's crawl to take the bait off, it might be to open and he can't open it from there. So the man is there. When the wolf goes into the crawl in order to take the sheep, that is his prayer. You know, a lion doesn't do that. A lion goes out and hunts his prey. The prey that he hunts are beasts. They are bucks. They don't belong to anyone. And Yahweh says, believe, and we hear it, believe, you are a blood. You are a blabber, taking things for yourself, plundering them, things that don't belong to you. A lion will never attack when he's not hungry. He doesn't kill for gain. He kills for food. God eats. You say, you tear it the new olive. You have got beyond that stage of wanting things for the sake of pleasure. You want things for yourself. You want things for gain. You've got beyond that stage. You have the ability, you have the propensity of not wanting things just because you want it for yourself. Koran Robata. Now, you must defeat a lion in order to treat him. Leader is one. He bends down and he crouches like a lion. And when a lion bends down and he crouches, he bends erect with all that pride. He's not ready to kill. Doesn't think of it at all. Mukhalabim, he is an enemy. But he is there that they will tear him up. Because when he's teared up, he becomes a lobby. A lobby is a lion on the pill. He is going to tear him up. There is no necessity to tear him up. That is the way we tend to remain. And then it says, that those who hate it in Hebrew shall take me down that law. The scepter shall never depart from you. And the mechelket is, I think they call it a pile in it is something which one uses in order to engrave. And that is the word that is used for laws. Because laws are, it's not sufficient that laws are written. Laws have to be engraved. Laws have to have a perpetuity about them. Otherwise they have no meaning. So when you speak about a lawgiver, the scepter is authority. And the ruler, staff, it's got yet the mechelket, shall always be there. The oil between his feet. The mechelket is the person that is able to understand the Torah to such an extent that he interprets the law, he directs the law, he safeguards the law. That is the mechelket. And Yehuda will always be there. Now, it was like that during that period of the Second Commonwealth, from the time of Ezra, right until well after the destruction of the Second Day of the Church. The destruction of the Second Day of the Church took place in the first century, and this continued right up in Palestine until about the year 300, and then it continued for several hundreds of years afterwards in Babylon. One had always in Israel two leaders. The one leader was the person who administered the law, the shaman. The other one was the one who was in charge of the whole spirit of the table. This is something that we always have. In that prayer, the Kutul Kon, we really say, comes from that part, the Vaishnuso. The Vaishnuso was the person who was responsible, he was the table. He was the authority. Lord of it might have to work and translate in English, I'll take it out of the you know, this is the prayer that is written in Aramaic, it's not written in Hebrew. There's so much in it. There's so much in it. If I say this, or I hear it said, you know, there's 1,000 years of history that just opens itself in front of me whenever, and I see just in one sleep I see it all. May salvation arise from heaven. May grace kind. Now this is a prayer that was said by the whole congregation in every congregation. May salvation arise from heaven. May grace, kindness and mercy, long life, ample sustenance and divine aid, physical health, perfect vision, and healthy children who will never neglect the study of the Torah, be granted to our scholars and teachers. The Moran Mel Rabbanon, to our scholars and teachers. Very good translation. But the Moran Rabbanon means very much more than to our scholars and teachers. To the holy societies that are in the land of Israel, to the holy societies, that means to the community. And in the land of Babylon, that is where these two great communities existed, side by side for at least 300 years, probably a little longer. To the head of the academies and the chief of the captivity, the chief of the exile, I would rather have, the leaders of the exile, the prisoners of the exile, would be nicer. To the heads of the academies were in Babylon, Sudo, Kuntavita, Nahardor, a couple of others. So he prayed for the heads of the academies and the chief of the captivity. They were always from the house of Judah. They were always the descendants of David. That's how he made from this verse in the Torah. The scepter shall never depart from Judah, nor the shall take from between his legs. That went right down, and in all this period, Rabbi Yehuda Hanosi, a descendant of David. All the Rabbi Gamliel, Gilead, descendant of David. The head of the academy and the head, what is known as the head of the exile. Then to the presidents of the colleges and the judges of the towns and to their disciples and disciples of their disciples and to all who study the Torah. May the King of the universe bless them, prolong their lives, increase their days and add to their years. May they be saved and delivered from all distress and disease. For may our Lord who is in heaven be their help at all times and let us say Amen. Isn't it a beautiful prayer? That is in the Kumput Kot. And it's written in Aramaic. And that is God right down. It went right down. The heads were always the descendants, the direct descendants from the house of David. There was always a shaded and a machoket. There was an authority, and then there was the authority who implemented, who administered and implemented, and there was the authority who guided, who interpreted, when necessary, made post God. Those were the two that always went hand in hand together. But Yaakov said he is prophesied that these propensities, don't forget, the internal power that all his brothers will acknowledge him. He will not impose these rules. He will not allow the runabout seeking vote to be elected. There will be no question about it. All his brethren will acknowledge him. And his enemies, the same enemies that have been at his throat for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, they will turn their backs and he will have his hand on the back of their neck. And then he goes on to say, as long as the Hebrew there is very difficult, and I'm giving you quite a different interpretation from what the English is here. The English, of course, is taken from the translation of the Jewish publication Study in America, which in turn is taken from the revised version, which in turn is taken from the authorized version, the King James Version of 1611, which in turn is taken from the Septuagint, but not the original Septuagint, but the Septuagint as it was edited by the Church Fathers, which in turn was taken from the original Septuagint, which in turn was taken from the original Tanakh, from the original Tanakh. So a lot can happen along that long way, along that road. Yes?
I think it's a publication style in
America. In America?
Yeah, why would they take that route rather than going to the original
school?
It seems to me that there would be many gaps.
Yes, can be entered. There are many, there are several reasons for it. I'm going to deal with two reasons. The one reason is that these people that translated for the Jewish Publication Society of America, they were not total Jews. They were, very many of them were Reformed Jews. They were not total Jews at all. They didn't believe in Torah Shabbatah. They had no idea of Torah Shabbatah. You follow? That's the first reason. The second reason is that the authorized version of 1611 was a very fine piece of work as far as the unit is concerned, as far as the translation is concerned. And it's always held up as an example, not of English writing only, but of English literature. It's a very beautiful translation, and it is very difficult to read as far as beauty is concerned. And it is surprisingly on the mark. Surprisingly on the mark.
And when one comes to the song, that was the Elizabethan age in England, there is a persistent rumor that the songs that were presented to Shakespeare, and he was asked to knock them into shape. You follow? So those two reasons were why they adhered so strongly to the revised and to the revised version, which is really based on the original.
You say the publication in 1611, that's
done by Jesus? No, all done by Jesus. All done by Jesus. Until then, there was no real English translation of the Bible until 1611. It was only in Latin and Greek.
It's never been translated. And the
original is by Jews. Now it's been done. Now there's a lot
there
of
it.
I mean, pardon? Yeah, but that's what these ones are. That's what it was. This one is translated by Jews.
Our
scale is what has been translated. This is another one. But this is comparatively recent.
And are there going to be any differences
that are going to be coming? The Jewish Publication Society of America, or the translation is always based on something. It's not just that it's sucked out of their thumb. It is based on something, with big translation. Please allow me to go on. I just have to get through this with you. Now let us go on a little further. And then it says here, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the mechokek, nor the stylus from between his feet. And as I explained to you, that is authority as far as administration is concerned, or authority as far as the law itself, the tale of the teaching is concerned. As long ki ad ki yovo shile, as long as it ad until the very end of the people will come. Now Yaakov is speaking about Achrita Yomim, the end of days. So he says, this will be preserved in Judah until the very end, when it is the very end. And it is, the Shiloh comes from the word Shulah, which means the hem. So you come to the Am Yisrael, when you're coming already to the end, to the hem. And as I've discussed with you during Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon, that the time when Mashiach will come, before Mashiach will come, the Ikrit of the Mashiach, the time before the Mashiach will come, the Israel, the Torah Israel, will be very, religion. So he said, until that time when it will be, when the end will come, the very end will come, the Lohik Asamim, and to him then will the nations come to Judah. They will come in Hikas is obedience, they will come in obedience to Judah. And that he predicts will be in the end of that. So that is Yehuda. Why, when it comes now and a king is to be appointed, why is it Shaul that is appointed? Why isn't it from Yehuda?
Not
ready. He is not ready for it. And when David was appointed, were they ready when David was appointed? And why was David appointed then? Still, it doesn't altogether work out. But well, now we have Patrick's coincidence. But at least now we are getting to see something of the pattern of things. And what we have to remember is that an appointment of a king is with a view of what is going to be in the end of things. But now, just let us go and discuss this again in Deuteronomy, as we've got in Deuteronomy. At least we've got some information that we can go by. Yes, the past. No, I mean, it's a nice blessing. His blessing is that the Beit HaMikdash will be built really. It's in Jesus' portion, but it's in Benjamin's portion. It's just in between. That is his great blessing. It will be just there, you see, which means that he's got something to do with that. Yes, Barbara?
The last time we were here, didn't
you
say
there was
a table?
A Shabbat, yes, he's a Shabbat, yes.
Right, does he believe that he's from the house of David?
Yeah, what I said is, if anybody tells you that he's descended from the house of David, you do well not to believe him. That's what I must have understood.
No, you didn't say anything.
Didn't I say that?
No, you didn't say anything.
I don't think I would have said anything.
So, in other words, when, as, after that time that you talked about from the prayer, when they just different people,
it
didn't have to be from
the house. From where?
From after whenever the prayer, you
said
from about.
From that time. Yeah. From that time, all we know is that must have gone on probably until the year of power. And then he just the greatest spirit came, and then he went very great. When that broke up, when Babylon broke up, then we were in great difficulties. But we were in great difficulties already just before, round about the 6th century, after 500, we were in very great difficulties. And the Rambam writes, he says, until that time, until the time of Rabino and Marta Rabashi, that is, until the early 6th century, the Torah, the centrality of the Torah was in Babylon, and there was no question as to what it meant and what it was, and how it was to be administered, and how it was to be understood, how it was to be interpreted. And then came the great dispersion, which was a dispersion after the dispersion. And it was from that time onward that it came. So you had a total authority in North Africa, you have them in the central part of North Africa, round about Cyrenaica, you have it on the west coast of North Africa, in Morocco, you have it in Spain, and then in Rome, and almost at the same time you have great communities there, and in France, and right up as far as Mainz in Germany, practically the same time. In North Africa you have Rabbeinu Hanan and Rabbeinu Yitin, in the Philadelphia, Morocco, you have the Rift, up in North Africa, in Spain, you have starting with the Rift again, the Vinny Gaz, then you have the southern part of France, and then you have in the north, before Gracie's days, by the Gershom, all about, round about the year 1000. And then they were dispersed, and these were the great authorities in Rome, you have the Bailey of here, the Bailey of Boston, you have all these great authorities in all these different parts, and they administered the law, but then this line was broken. You just know that it would be restored. Can you know it? When you realize what it is that whole life. Now, let us take the subject of the teenager. Normally speaking, when a nation has a purpose, especially if you go back to the times of the church, what is the purpose of a teenager? I don't think that is the
teenager.
Leading war. He lives in war. That was the perfect mission. Just look for a moment at the 18th verse of the passage of the appointment of a king. When you will come to the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you will possess it, and you will inhabit it, and you will say, I wish my king to be appointed over thee like all the nations which are round about thee. You shall appoint the king over yourself. It is for warfare. The time to have appointed the king was before they were possessed. Once they possessed it and inherited it and inhabited it, then you don't need the king. So that is out of the question altogether. They didn't need a king to go to war. No question of that. That is concluded from that very first verse. So let us remember that, and then that puts us immediately onto a certain track, and then we can start there. There's a great division of opinion amongst the historians whether this passage of the appointment of a king is for the fifth or fear. What the fifth or fear means is this the way I believe? When you come to the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you possess it and inhabit it, and you will say, set a king over me, then you shall appoint a king of your whom the Lord your God will want. It is that permission to do so, do you want a king, or is it a command that even if you don't want it, you've got to do it? This is it. The way I read it is permission. I'll read it again, and I'll read it completely within my life. When you come to the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you will inherit it, and you will possess it, and inhabit it, then you shall say, I wish a king to be appointed over me, and you shall appoint a king over you in the Lord your God shall. Permission or a command? I can leave it either way, and I can be within my life. The superior says permission. The Ramban says the Lord, you've got to appoint it. The Ramban permits obligation. You've got to appoint a king. The Ibn Ezra sides with the superior permission. Let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara, a difference of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nehegor. Rabbi Yehuda says, you feel obligation, you've got to appoint it. Rabbi Nehegor says, if you wish a king, then you can have it. Permission.
vegetable food or that. What are we going to do? My question is another one. My question is, why did the Torah put it in such a way that I can make a mistake? Why did the Torah put it in such a way? Or that I can make a mistake. But you've got these tools of retaining. Or I would never say that they need to make a mistake. But you go right back to go back to the Gemara. And you've got two schools in the Gemara already. What is all this about? That is the difference. And now I want to follow this to the difference. And you've got those two schools to go. So you right back to the Gemara. I want to follow this to the difference. Furthermore, how do we understand the food that stages from the sinner? Then if we go back to Yaakov's blessing, he speaks about the descendants of Yehuda being the king for Achrit HaYomim in the end of days. So there is that descendant of the sinner. So how can they say it's permission? You can get over the difficulty by saying only at the very end, but not before. That's what you want to say.
Could it be a difference in the papacy? It's permitted to take anything you want over
it? Only who the Lord your God will approve. Nobody else.
But in terms of, putting it in the context of the thing that was indeed appointed and fell short, could it be that it's permitted to get the king you deserve, to get commanded to get
no, the right is our history. Always the king of Judah. Even the king of Israel. Not the king of Judah. We're not the descendants of David. He the base king over all the places. You're all of them the bottom of the pastor. They who was appointed.
The one that we're dealing with now.
Kings of Israel, they were also oppressed. All oppressed. And that's one of the very simple things. There is something that is tricky about this whole text. One thing we are quite certain about, that in the end of days there will be a king, that of that we've got no doubt. That in the end of days there will be a king, and that is the very idea. Of that we've got no doubt. The tricky part is what comes before that. What comes before that? It is possible that one can have a king before that, and it is the type of king that is going to lead us to Melech HaMashiach, to the coming of the Messiah. And there is the possibility that it's not going to lead us to the Messiah. Now the people are given an opportunity. The people are given this. It's possible that the time can come when a king will be needed. But the people themselves are to see that, to express that need, and then that time when a king will be there. But then it becomes a king. Let me try and explain it to you a little better than that. When the whole of Israel is settled in its land,
the longer you desire the better. Drowning the more, because the bigger human right in the sky. Each one of these things is what is in particular part where he is and where he is. There is a base of wisdom. The aim of these words comes to the base of wisdom. As far as the views are concerned, as a preliminary to this passage about the king, there is the appointment of the judges, and it says, you shall appoint judges and officers in verse 18 of chapter 17, of chapter 16, you shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates, which really means in all your cities, in all your states, in all your provinces, which the Lord your God will give you for your sins. So it shall be according to the sin. So there is a decentralization. It is possible that you will reach that stage when you will say that you want a centrality as a nation where all the material forces are placed under the king. You will have that also. You might want to say, now that you've got each, you've got your provinces all divided amongst your things, amongst your subordinates, you will want to have a centrality of power. Material power. But it will be material power that will be completely in the service of our death. And this will be a means of attaining it. I'll give it to you a little bit greater detail in a moment. So you will appoint a king. This king will be subject only to Hashem himself. Because he says the way he should be holding himself. Not like all the other kings. Not in any chariot. Not in any horses, not in any women, not in much gold, not in much silver. And that's what he mustn't do. What must he do? He to take care. And one always to be with him. And he is. He asks his never to be raised above that of his brethren. And furthermore, he shall use him as a very established order, and he shall deal with him all the days of his life in order that he should learn to fear the Lord his God. The people in turn will have this thing. He weighs this thing as the example. And they will be subordinate to him, who in turn will be subordinate to Hashem, but they will be subordinate in him only as far as material matters are concerned, in order to unite them all in the service of Hashem, or even in material matters. When they say, we want a king like all the nations of the earth, they mean three things. First of all, although we are going to be separate tribes living in separate provinces, we want to have someone that's going to be with us. In addition to that, we want to have all our powers put under one head. And we will be the ones who will subordinate ourselves to this thing. There will be an instability. There will be an election. The king dies, there will be immediately an election. He and his seed afterwards will continue.
why he elected him. Once he is an election, from what side is he going to be? Yes, he does know that, you see. Of course he's going to be from Peter. But no re-election is going to go from father to son. That is the type of kingship that is speaks about. The type of kingship, you are quite right. Those of you who made these remarks were absolutely correct. They went right for it. What is the big sign that they went right? It says when you come to the land and you possess the land and you inhabit it, so have you possessed the whole land? So it's to the Philistines there. They didn't have the whole land yet. They were ready for it. They were still fighting. But the whole idea is that you don't want it to be for fighting. That's the whole idea. In Shmuel, they actually say that they want a king for 5 years. In verse 20, chapter 8, verse 20, the last verse that I read to you, and it shall be, and he shall be like all the nations, and he will judge, and our king will judge them. The great son of our name is a deer come up here, come and say me. And he will go out in front of us, and he will fight our death. That's not the previous thing. Not that thing. So they ask for a thing, but not the thing that they were, that the thing that they did. What is it that they are receiving? Now that is a new day, but I don't think that I could have discussed. It is such a thing as grieving my being in this place. Grieving my being in this place means when Abraham was told that he was to sacrifice his son, tell me now, he's got to get up the next morning. He can charge a 12 of them. He can charge a 10 of them. He doesn't. He starts at stake. Starts on his head. You've got to be a mixer. I think the mind is going to justify the telling you can do it earlier. But we need to be the time comes. One doesn't get paid. The ink of the thing is in the system. In the system. He wrote and say the right thing. What the whole guilty of was in his and this is a leader which he does that. It's the opposite of not being it, of being delivered, of mercy. Here's one or two examples of it. Now I want to give you the first example. The thing of this is a secret. The disease is as follows. Now the immediate is Bahala, which is in a kind of detail of it near it. If it is a mitzvah to ask for a thing, he takes the view and we shall say, take over the thing. Then why ask Rabbi Yehuda, where the Bnei Yisrael punished in the time of Shmuel to go to ask for a thing, the normal man to be made Shmuel? Answer Rabbi Yehuda, we may say he is giving you our gift. They themselves, by their own initiative, is typical. There was an indeed hope against religion. The world had a conquer. If it wasn't conquered, of course,
immediately comes the idea, he will do the fighting for us. That's exactly what we don't want. That's not the purpose of the system. So he did it to them, David is not doing it to them. That's not the purpose of the system. You can't have David. David would have been the king, the defendant of the door. That's it. This place shall never depart from him. Never shall take place from between his legs. No, that's not the type of thing you're doing. That's not the type of thing you're on. The type of thing you're after, that's the story. And that is the young lady. Of course, he's an outstanding man. There's no question about that. Here a little bit more about him after that. And that brings us to the very end of the chapter. And here, chapter 31, a decade, and here listening to all the words of the people, and he takes them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord takes his ear, listen to their voice, and you shall place unto you a truth. And here says to the men of Israel, they that each one of me to be a king. Lay the recovery of the king, and to be a king in God's will. That he knows. That he is the Lord of the Lord. It's all of the three cities. It is one other outstanding example of each city. It's all easy. And the Everest says, the senior Christian says, that David and Mary Thomas is a wife of 3 years of the Bible, of 3 years of the Bible. And he says, yes, what happens to the child that he says in the Everest says? Again, that's the second time. He got first child of God. What happens to the second child? Don't play on it. The second of 38 is just play on it. Remember what he did with 38. I tell you, what he did in the step 38, that was under. They took a bear. And the bear explained that a thief don't think about it outside of its teeth. If your husband asks you what is in the sexual, he will say the very bad bear. Now, the bear explained. That is me. He thundered from the storm. He knew that he was the alone. He was the alone. He knew that that feather would be the mother of the sun. If you've got something to do, be as soon as possible. But if you haven't got something to do, don't be supposed that something that you've got to do has something to do with it. That is what you want. He says that Yahweh is wanted at, was almost on the point, not that he wanted it. He was almost on the point of killing them, bringing in the bodies of the beast, giving away everything, bringing the beast. A of that thing, faith is saying, is really taking from it. And yet, we are not committed to having only a path. We are not committed, we are not committed to predict going into going to heaven. There are many examples of it in this chapter 4. One of the reasons I have other reasons to take you away, but I'm going to do each of these. One of the reasons they are not allowed just to be tender in a path. If they feel they are not allowed even to just kill an animal and feed it, the market has to be prepared, it's got to be slain. The people have got to be done with very great care. It's got to be saved, it's got to be salted. No hope. This way becomes truly the element of life. Even as far as speaking from them, the produce of the earth. First year, 2 year, event. It's a don't have to be the first 2 years. The first year. The first year is don't fix the people. Don't be in the situation. And if you look, if you look at it, the person is down there, again. That's what the Jews said of the penitence, using that word to be truly outrageous. They tasted it by their own hands. I would accept it's done very well. Because they think and hope that they're right. When they start to ask for the things, they start to give them a bit of a chance to judge their spouse. When they end up in the area, then you think that it, who will go at his spouse down that way? Exactly what they're like that way. Now, we are not really really preliminary to Zadim in Zadim in Hebrew, so I cover at least a chapter of the two. Just if you want to get there, I will know exactly what that. So the first period of Zadim, where the people come to see and ask for the thing, here is the thing, how can it be, because this is in the air of sin, the vision is made for this, for this. What is wrong is only is that this particular must be situated. They're not ready for it, it's not the right time. They're not even settled on the land. This is not what he wanted. The proper thing they won't get. They are seen for them. It will be a vision. But that will not be the thing that they are in. When the parents tell us that they are ready for it, it will be a thing that they bring about the need to the study of Melech HaMashiach. Then there is a thing that they are down to the end.
But the year, and
it's not in the chair,
but it's
not in the middle, so you're not in the middle. Yes, but it's not in the middle. Somebody in my perfected that way, right? He wants that thing of government. He is not very correct, how can he want that? You tell the time that this is not
enough.
Not only with the prophet,
the only thing is that he could sympathize with them. It was typical that he would die, you know, I don't know, and he said, 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 he